If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome live from the Jericho Cruise, Terror on the High Seas, live beyond the darkness. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Very cool. Here we are on a wrestling cruise, Tim.
Yep.
Rock and wrestling cruise.
We're
the only paranormal morons on board, or so I thought.
No.
And we're having a great time, meet so many amazing people. And it's been cool because we've had a chance to meet so many of the wrestlers.
Yep.
Who have come forward with their love of the paranormal.
Oh, yes.
Which I didn't know.
I didn't
either. Kenny Omega, yeah. Diamond Dallas Page, some guy named Chris Jericho.
Yeah, no idea who he is.
So it's been a lot of fun, and we've invited some of the guys that we've met throughout the cruise to come up and share some stories with us, and I'll have Tim introduce in a second. But we're having a great time on the cruise. You guys who did not attend, shame on you. For all of you brave enough to come out on the cruise, thank you very much. Give yourselves a big round of applause. Sound of applause. How many people have had their own paranormal experiences? How many people have never had a paranormal experience? How many people are drunk and have no clue what they're doing here with us right now?
Yes.
Mario.
All right. At least we got that out of the way. Now I know the truth of what's really happening. Well, thank you, whether you're a believer, a skeptic, or just drunk. We appreciate you showing up tonight. Tim Dennis, also sitting here to my side. Yes. And I tasked Tim with the job of finding some of his people, some of his wrestling pro friends, to come on stage and share paranormal encounters or talk about their love of the paranormal. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Dennis, introduce us to your friends. Tim?
My new friends, or the people I'm now stalking. That's what I like to call him. Ladies and gentlemen, to Dave's right immediately is the Beer City Bruiser. I know I talk a lot of stuff about Wisconsin, but this man is a saint.
Yes.
A lot of you saw him wrestle earlier and get his beer slapped out of his hand by that evil, evil man, Silas Young.
Not that evil.
I should downplay that. I'm sorry.
He's not evil.
He's from Wisconsin.
So am I.
Oh, I'm sorry. Old habits die hard. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But Beer City Bruiser, thank you for joining us.
And hi, everybody.
We'll be talking. Big hand for Beer City Bruiser. And the man who, intern Yoko, would follow to the ends of the earth just to cradle him and love him gently. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Cheeseburger.
Hello, everybody.
Now, Cheeseburger, I understand from talking to Bruiser that you are huge into the paranormal.
Yes, I am.
All right. So we're going to get some stories first. Actually, let's start with Bruiser because... I was shocked to find out, and I'm always, I don't know why I'm so shocked, but we've been walking around the ship and we've been talking a lot through the years, and I've been talking a lot through the years with guys who work in the professional wrestling industry, and I always assumed that road stories would come from arenas. And a lot, you guys work a lot of older buildings, mm-hmm. and whether it be from when starting out in your career from bingo halls to stadiums, you would figure a lot of those arenas would have stories. But you guys have stories from all over, from your everyday lives.
Yeah, I've had experiences ever since I was a kid, in the house I grew up in and stuff like that. And then...
Well, now, hold on a second. Don't just gloss
over
it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So you had experiences. At what age did this start up for you?
God, I was about...
Should I call you Beer or Bruiser? I'm not sure.
You can call me Bruiser and okay. Then feed me beer.
All right, I like this, Anna.
Yeah, I was like 13. And when I grew up, my parents always supported... I have a brother and a sister. And my parents always supported our sport habits. So they'd always make sure they went to stuff. One day, I had a baseball game. My brother and my sister did. So my game ended early, and I went home with some friends so my parents can go to my brother and my sister. I was in the bathroom, and I got done, you know, taking a shower, getting all ready, and I was going into my room, and I was changing, and all of a sudden I heard a little girl singing, "Row, row, row your boat." I was like, well, that's weird. Like, I thought I was home alone. Maybe my sister got home. So... just kind of blew it off and went into our little dining room, and I heard it again. It was a little girl singing, "Row, row, row your boat," and I could clearly hear it. It was coming from the basement, so I went in the basement, and my sister's name's Maria, and I'm like, "Maria, are you here?" And I didn't hear anything. So I go back upstairs, and I heard it again. I'm like, all right, you know, my sister and I, brother-sister relationship, we play pranks, and we joke on each other, and I went downstairs, and I'm looking everywhere. And there's nothing. So I go back up, and I'm deciding, you know what? If she's going to prank me, I'm going to prank her. And I went into her bedroom to, like, grab her Barbie dolls and, like, trash the place.
So wait a minute. So her big prank is, row, 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 row. And your prank is, look up your dolls, man.
That's the relationship we had.
You have anger issues, Bruiser.
Well, then I heard it again, uh-huh. And then I heard the garage door close, and my sister and my mom walk in, and I walk right up to Maria. I'm like, that's not funny. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you have scared me beyond all belief. I knew you were in the basement. You're doing all. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, you paid one of your friends to hang out in the basement and sing row, row, row. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And my mom goes, did you hear a little girl singing? I said, yeah. She goes, that happens all the time when I do laundry. Huh? What? She goes, oh, yeah, that's just that's a little girl. She makes sure laundry gets done. She's a nice girl. And so ever since then, like...
So then you start figuring out, how am I going to explain the Barbie incident of 1987?
So ever since then, I've just been like, all right, there's got to be a reason. And you know, you can go to the town hall and find out who grew up in the house. And I just, I'm like, I'm going to find out what's going on. And it turns out the house, when it was first built, a little girl was there, and she passed away from cancer. But her bedroom was in the basement, and her favorite song was Row, 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 Boat.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, once you knew that, did you guys start addressing her? Did you treat her like one of the family?
No. Like, we just kind of just, every time Mom did laundry, there's a little girl singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And if you were home alone, you heard it, you're just like, okay. It was fun when your friends came over and they'd hear it and they'd look at you like, what is going on? You go, oh, it's just our ghost. And then go on about your business and they'd be like, wait, what?
So does that mess with a teenage boy growing through puberty and maturity and realizing that you're maybe not as alone in your bedroom as you think you are? When you're looking at that, you know, Kelly LeBrock poster on the wall, do you start thinking, row, row, row your boat?
Let's just say my wife doesn't do foreplay with row, row, row your boat. Right?
Oh, that's creepy. All right, so that was kind of your...
That was the first...
No, not the ghost. The fact that he brought up his wife in foreplay. That's the creepy part.
Oh, no, that was before we were married. We're married now. You know how it is. There's no foreplay. It's ready? Okay.
And foreplay.
See you tomorrow? All right, cool.
So that was when you were like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And that just continued the whole time you guys lived there?
The whole time we lived there, it continued. And then, you know, we sold the house and all that. And it kind of just going in the back of my head. I should go back and see if it's still happening. But that's just what kind of got me into the paranormal. And I'm like, this is cool. And then I found out through all the research, you know, the cryptozoology and the UFOs, and I had a UFO experience shortly after that, and I was like, okay, this is cool, like, I'm a beacon for stuff to happen, all right, cool.
Okay, now you're glossing again. Don't you? This is the funny thing about being in the paranormal, right? Once you start having experiences, Tim and I will be at these haunted locations all over the United States. And people come up and they're like, you've got to hear this EVP, this electronic voice phenomenon. And they're like, listen, if there's anybody here, give us a sign of your presence. Get out. And then Tim and I are like, oh, okay. And they're like, no, it said get out. Yeah, we heard it. But it spoke. Yeah. And they're like, why aren't you affected? I'm like, I need a flaming skull down the hall now. You know, get out is quaint, right? I mean, big deal. But it's funny how you start to get just jaded. And he's like, oh, yeah, I had a ghost growing up. I saw a UFO. I had sex with a mermaid. But other than that, nothing big. So
the mermaid did have a lovely singing voice in her defense. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, I'm following you tomorrow during the shore excursion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get Tim drunk. I'm going to get Tim drunk in a tail and put him out in the hallway. All right, so you had a UFO encounter at what age?
So this is shortly after that. I had a friend, actually, whose mother was really into the paranormal. When I told him about what happened, she right away was like, oh, I'm going to educate you. And her big thing was...
Does this guy know we're on the air?
No, I don't think so.
Hey, he
Thank
does.
You, though.
He just reminded us.
What's up, man?
He just reminded us about Cinco de Nino, actually, when he handed me this.
This is going to go downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
I like it, though. Cheeseburger, can I get you a drink? I don't care. Whatever you want to do with that voice, bring me whatever. All right. So your friend's into the paranormal.
Friend's mom in the paranormal, and She was really into UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And it was right around the time Fire in the Sky came out.
Sure.
And she right away was just educated. Oh, these guys were on Geraldo, the lie detector test, the whole thing. And it was like, oh, man, this is so cool. And then, like, she heard about the ghosts, and she's talking about EVPs. And, like, that's where I really got a lot of my knowledge of the terminology. Well, to get to his house, we had to ride through a park and, you know, sleeping all your kids. You sleep over at each other's houses. And I like sleeping over at his house because mom, like to everybody else, was that freaky lady that lived on the edge, you know, on the corner. So, you know, but I liked it because she would like talk to us. Like she didn't hide the fact that, you know, ghosts are there, UFOs there. Bigfoot is out there. You know, she'd tell us about it. So I was really interested. And it wasn't like my mom where it's like, oh, it's a little girl singing songs. No big deal. You know? So one night we're riding our bikes from my house to his house, going through the park, and there's this bright light. And the best way to describe it's like these spotlights are in our eyes. That's what it was. But it was over like this little tree area and in the park. And
hold on. Are you sure you're not drunk and just remembering the movie E.T. right now? And then all of a sudden my bike started flying.
You want me to lie and say we stole a car?
Yeah, that's better. Around, like, and it was a cop spotlight, really.
And we're both looking at it, and he's like, I don't want to go there, because she had just told us the story of Fire in the Sky. And I told him, I'm like, I don't want to be, my butt is off limits. I don't want to be probed. I don't care how cool of a story it is. Like, because that's all I thought in my head was like, oh, this guy was probed. Like, I don't want to be probed. Like,
speaking of probes, drinks are here.
That's right.
She's a booger. Something.
Can I just?
Wow, nice.
Can I point out real quick that cheeseburger drinks harder than any Briscoes ever drink in their lives? Take that, Jay Briscoe.
For those of you listening at home, I don't know what he's talking about either. All right.
So
bikes. She's cool. Totally biking. You see lights.
Lights. Yep, and so we take the long way to his house, and all night we're talking about it. Like, this was so cool. So we just said, hey, we're going to go back the next day just to check it out. And when we got there, the tree that it was over was burnt, like completely burnt, and it was in a perfect circle. But you couldn't smell the burnt air, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It was just, it was a circle about as big as a circle in front of us with the tree right in the middle. And, like, we're looking at him. So we got his mom, and we're like, oh, this is what happened. We brought her, and she took soil samples or something. Like, she was an accountant. I don't know why she's taking soil samples, but, like, we're thinking it's cool. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah. Your mom's thinking she was working with like the NSA or CIA. Yeah, we're like, and wow. Accountant was just the cover title she used.
Probably what it was. But yeah, she did that, and like it was just really cool because like I can't say what I, you know, it was a UFO as far as I'm concerned because I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, you know. All our friends just said it was just a bunch of kids in the park being kids and burning stuff. I'm like, yeah, but that was a perfect circle. Like, you know, you would smell burnt. I've been around burning piles of ash and or leaves and stuff like that growing up in Wisconsin.
We'll talk about that later.
You know, so it was like, I believe it was a UFO experience.
Now, Cheeseburger, or should I refer to you as Mr. Cheese or Mr. Burger? You tell me.
Chili dog.
Cheeseburger, now you said that you're into the paranormal, but when I asked if people have not had an experience and you raised your hand for
Yes,
so you've not had an experience, but this stuff still fascinates you.
Yeah, I'm more into like aliens and cryptozoology more so than ghosts and like things like that. Like that, like UFOs and like aliens, that stuff fascinates me.
And you've known Bruiser for a long time.
Oh yeah, a long time.
But didn't know that he was into the paranormal.
I had no idea he was.
So between you and me, do you believe him, or is it just one too many steel chairs to the head?
I had no idea he was a beacon for the paranormal, as he called it. So it might be something to do with him, man.
So what? Now you liked aliens and cryptids.
Yes.
What about that aspect drew your attention?
I think I first got into it being from New Jersey. I heard the Jersey Devil when I was like a kid. And I always wonder, like, whenever I would be driving with my mom, like, we'd pass by some woods or something like that, I'd be looking, like, all right, it's the Jersey Devil. Like, see if he's, like, if I can see him pop out, maybe. Like, see, I'm looking for a little red figure, like, in the woods as we're driving down the highway. And I never knew what part of Jersey the Jersey Devil lived in. I just assumed it was Trenton, where I'm from, because that's the capital. I was like, well, the Jersey Devil must live in the capital, right? Like, that's where else would he be.
Contractually, that's what he's supposed to do, yeah. Like a senator. Once in a while, he's out in Asbury Park, but you don't know.
As a kid, I were always, like, keeping my eye out for the Jersey Devil every time I was passing by some kind of, like, trees or, like, forests or anything.
So growing up in that area, hearing stories, were people taking it seriously?
Few people, yeah, a few people. Yeah. There's a couple of friends of mine. They like went looking for them one time. Like they like being, yeah, like kids where I grew up, or we like to act tough, even though we weren't very tough. We were all like, you know, 10, 11 years old, thought we were like the hardest dudes like in the world.
Sure.
And a group of them were like, all right, hey, we're gonna go look for the Jersey Devil. I was like, all right, you guys follow. What are you gonna do? They're like, we're gonna beat him up. I'm like,
beat him up. I'm like, gonna take his lunch money. Or Jersey Devil's just skipping on the way to school and getting mugged in Jersey.
I'll stay at home for this. Just let me know what you guys find. I'll chill out.
I love that that's your question, because we've had crypto guys on our show, you know, finding Bigfoot and all this. I go, so what is the deal when you find it? Like when you round the corner and he's there and he's like, what do you do next? You throw a bat on him? Do you trip him? Do you suplex him? What do you do?
I don't even think they had any weapons. I think they were just going to go find him and try and fight him. I don't know what their backup
try
plan
to
was.
Fight him.
I don't know what their backup plan was.
That is
a
pretty good street cred, though, isn't it, Cheeseburger?
I mean, yeah, if you were
hey, we kicked the shit out of the Jersey Devil, all right? Forget about it. gosh. Well, I understand. Now, Tim, you've got a lovely new guest that's joined the stage. Would you like to do an introduction for us, please?
I can't.
Well,
talk
one
right
clap,
now.
That's all.
Wow, really?
Thanks, guys.
There we go. We have a new guest.
You don't have to fake it. It's all right. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Women of Honor, it's Mandy Leon.
Woo!
Hello.
And makes me look 500% better. I'm telling you, I'm almost embarrassed to speak. So Mandy, as we were talking to Bruiser and Cheeseburger, I was saying that a lot of times my impression has been from talking to a lot of the workers on the road, you would think you would have experiences in a lot of the different buildings you worked throughout your career, whether it be from bingo halls to stadiums, because of the different activity that have been there, people who have passed through and whatnot. But I find out as I talk to the different workers that it starts a lot of times from childhood. And performers have that energy, and it kind of attracts spirits. So I'm curious as to whether you've had a paranormal experience, what type of paranormal experiences you had, and your paranormal history, so to speak.
Wow. Okay. Well, this cuts a little deep for me. Yeah. So you mentioned wrestling and being on the road and traveling, and if we experience things wherever we work and go and wrestle and things like that. I personally, I'm a very spiritual person, like very, and I know people are gonna think this is weird and look at me like I'm crazy, but yeah, Burger, shut up. So, but like since I was little, like I pick up on people's vibes. Instantly, I can read you instantly. It's like weird voodoo, if you want, that's what you want to call it. That's cool. My family's Cuban and Puerto Rican and a bunch of other things, but my Cuban side of my family practice Santeria, and which is basically witchcraft for all of you who don't know that. So I pick up on that stuff well, but when I'm on the road, I don't ever. For me, I think I go in, do my job, do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't really, I kind of block all that out. And if I feel creepers, like I get the creepers, but I you know what I mean? Like I don't see a ghost in the locker room and I'm like, something's happening. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, I think there's a spirit here.
Too bad you have a reality show like that.
That's right.
I know. Yeah. But if I had a Ouija board with me, we can manifest some maybe backstage. But no, I think we're all just so busy that there's not time to kind of soak that in. And if we did hear something strange, we would probably think it's like Mark Briscoe screaming in the back locker room. Like, you know what I mean? Like if there was a ghost, it's probably just Mark screaming like some crazy stuff in the back. So we wouldn't even really know. But yeah, like you were saying, childhood, it did start for me when I was a child. Again, it's just in my family with the weird Santeria stuff. And
I was going to ask you, growing up around Santeria now, did you adopt the Santeria lifestyle growing up or going forward into your teenage years, or is it something you chose to move away from?
It's weird. My grandfather was very into it, like heavy into it. He did the card reading and weird, just weird stuff. But I never got my hands on it to a point where it was like, okay, I'm committed to doing this and I'm a witch and I can do all these crazy things and I'm going to put a spell on you. And, you know, so I was never like that. It's kind of like if I would go to my grandparents' house, they would read me my cards and tell me things, or if they had a bad feeling, or they would do like sauna down my back if they felt bad vibes. And that sounds so creepy, right? But for me, I never practiced it. I have like my little things that my mom has always told me if I sense bad spirits or evil vibes from people, to kind of say like, you know, mera tisoho, which means like, you know, like whatever you wish goes back to you and things like that. As far as getting heavy into it, no. I can read cards, but I don't practice it. I think that'd probably scare all of you. Would that scare you guys? No. No?
No, you're amongst a paranormal audience.
I'm going to turn into a, what's her name from the Staten Island medium? What's her name? Yes.
Therese?
Yeah. I'll turn into that real here and tell you guys your backstories. No. like we were saying, no, I've never really, I've went through phases where I've tried it, but I've never like fully committed to it to where it was just in me 100%.
Do you feel like that Santeria background might have heightened your spirituality to a point where maybe you attracted paranormal activity to you?
Maybe. Yeah. It's funny because like my mother and my grandmother were the positive, I guess, in weird lingo with the white witches. They would do good stuff. Whereas my grandfather would practice like the dark, scary stuff. So I always go back to a story when unfortunately he was on his deathbed and he would just see things. Like he was going crazy. He was about to pass away and he would just look around the room and he would just get scared, and he doesn't get scared, and he would just keep saying like he just sees lights and these evil spirits and different people in the room, and like I guess he was just seeing people who died in that room before him or something, but he's never been scared of death and he was just terrified. But
do you think that because he worked in the dark realm that maybe because of all that work that at that moment, then that's what he was seeing?
I think so.
Is it reflections of the beings he had called upon all those years?
Maybe. I don't know. But all I know is that just when you looked at him, he definitely saw things and was freaked out. And he always said when my sister was in the room that he saw a woman behind her, and it brought him a sense of peace that was something that was a positive moment, because in a way he felt like his powers were being passed down to her because she lived with him for so long. And but I know that sounds so crazy, guys.
Not at all. No. You're amongst friends. We're on the Terror and the High Seas. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back here live on the Jericho Cruise.
Woo! Yeah!
Woo! after Chris.
And we're back. Isn't that amazing? The magic of radio. Welcome back. This is Beyond the Darkness, live on the Jericho Cruise. Terror on the High Seas. We've got a lot of great guests up here as we're talking about the supernatural. And, you know, you were talking, Tim, you had introduced that a lot of these people you thought would have had experiences at bigger venues. And now we're finding that some of them have had them at, you know, throughout their entire life. And we'll bounce back and then make our way across. But Bruiser, have you... Doing the work that you do in wrestling and going all over, have you found yourself in any locations or hotels while you're out touring and doing this where you've run into the paranormal yourself?
Actually, yeah. There's a venue in Milwaukee called The Rave. It's a music venue normally. Hey, know The Rave, huh? All right, cool.
Well, two people clapping, that one goes, it sucks. Yeah. Just because they threw your drunk ass out doesn't mean it sucks.
Thank you, yeah. It's the Rave Eagles. Is Eagles Ballroom better? Whoever said it sucks? Yeah, which is right above the Rave. It's the same building. You just walk up a flight of stairs and you're in the Eagles Ballroom. But anyways, I digress. Okay, so the Rave, for anybody that knows, if you perform in the building, you get to go into the underbelly of it, if you will. And they have a, I don't know if anybody knows, you guys from Wisconsin know about the hidden pool? Yeah, there's a pool because
wait a minute. You start off with a paranormal story and then the hidden pool.
Oh yeah.
It's not really scary.
It used to be a hotel back in the day.
Okay.
So they closed it down, they reformed it, and now it's a music venue. And the thing is, when you perform in the building, you go down to the pool and you sign your name. So like you go in there and there's names from everybody that's ever been at the Rave. And I got to sign my name, which was really cool. And then the guy who let us in there goes, oh, yeah, this is haunted, too. And we're like, oh, really? And he started explaining stuff. And we actually did an EVP session down there because we asked us, you know, it was after the wrestling show was all done. And it was literally just a guy and about three of us. And we did an EVP session. And, you know, we're sitting there for about an hour and a half. And doing the recorders and all that, and then we decided to play it back. And while we're there, it was really weird because, like, you'd ask questions like, oh, what was this? What was this? And one of the questions was, did you pass away in the hotel? And the response we got was, my hotel.
Okay.
And the guy goes, oh, yeah, that's the former owner. He, I guess, put his life savings in the getting the building and all that and making it what it was. And he's the guy who's supposedly haunting the place. So if you're ever at the Rave and you get a creepy feeling, they told us, yeah, that's probably something going on because you can't really experience it up where the music part is because it's so much commotion and everything like that. But if you ever get a chance to go into the underbelly and especially where the pool is, there's a lot of stuff that happens in there. We only had the one EVP, but I guess there's a lot of stuff that happens in that building. So it was really cool to go down there and part of Milwaukee history and go and find the secret pool and actually get an EVP out of it, you know, instead of just being people that sat there in an empty pool with a bunch of signatures around us.
Sounds like the lamest Hardy Boy book ever, right? The Hardy Boys in the secret pool. You know, that sounds very familiar to one of our iconic spots, First Avenue in Minneapolis.
Yep. I've wrestled there, too.
And thank you. Yeah, all one of you. it is, you know, of course, Prince made it famous in Purple Rain, and everybody that's anybody has been there. They have all kinds of crazy activity that take place. As a matter of fact, while DJs are up there, they've had their headphones on, and they'll be mixing and doing stuff, and they hear... come over their headphones, and they're like, they've taken off their headphones. Like, what the hell was that? Yeah. So they've heard moans, growls. Employees at the end of the night have followed people into the, you know, woman into the bathroom, and they go in and there's nobody there, or they've gone in and there's somebody hanging from one of the stalls that vanishes in front of them. So there's a lot of activity that takes place in places like this.
Yeah.
And as, you know, especially going kind of off the grid, you don't expect a place like that to have that kind of history.
Yeah, and it was always a rumor about the secret pool. Like, you make fun of the secret pool. It was always a rumor amongst entertainment people. So to actually go and see that it's a real place and then have an experience was really cool, too.
No, that's awesome.
And you talk about Minnesota. I actually wrestled at First Avenue, but I think you know Ian.
Yeah.
Who's a promoter.
Ian Xavier, yeah.
He took us on a little haunted tour, and my wife actually had an experience. He was just taking us, like, haunted locations in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there was a house, I guess. You guys might know it better, but I guess the story is some crazy stuff happened in this house where, like, the police went in and their hair turned white or something like that. They came out. Like, there's a hanging. You could see, like, up in the window, like, the hanging, the light and all that.
Yeah, I don't know this story.
Which house that is.
And I was drunk when he told me the story, so I don't really remember it.
So you could have gotten a little bit wrong.
I could have gotten a little bit wrong, but, like, it could have, yeah. But, no, like, I didn't experience anything on the tour, on the walk, but my wife is very skeptic. She doesn't believe anything until this moment. And Ian was telling us a story, and he goes, oh, if you look at that window, this is what happens and all that. And, again, I was opening a beer, so I wasn't paying attention. But her... one of the managers that was with us and Ian were all looking at the window, and all of a sudden my wife goes, oh? And I was like, what?
Is this, wife Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Oh?
She goes, oh?
I'm out of here.
she goes, oh? And I go, it's only my sixth beer. Why are you upset? She goes, no. Like, you didn't see that? And I said, see what? She goes, there was two red eyes in that window. And JP, who was the manager, goes, no way, you saw that too? And I'm like, you guys, what? You, no.
Are you hanging out with the whole Scooby-Doo?
It was everybody.
Roll Rice. You saw that too?
And then Ian goes, so you got, what did you guys see? And they both said, like, he pulled them aside one-on-one, and they said it and all that. And he came back. Goes, oh, yeah, they saw. I guess because he saw it too. And I was really upset. That was the only time I think I've ever been upset that I drink beer, because I was looking in the cooler to grab a beer while they saw this paranormal
experience.
Come on,
were you really upset that you missed it?
Yeah, because I'd rather drink with a ghost than drink by myself.
All right, now, Cheeseburger, you've heard UFO stories, ghost mm-hmm. stories, demonic window incarnations. What about you personally? I know you haven't had an experience,
yes.
But if you could, right now, if I said, Cheeseburger?
Yes.
Which is a conversation I never thought I'd start off with. Cheeseburger? There's three doors in front of you.
Okay.
Behind door A is proof that ghosts exist.
Okay.
Behind door B, proof that cryptids exist. Ooh. Behind door C, proof that aliens exist.
Ooh.
Right? Behind door D, proof that the Vikings will one day win a Viking or a Super Bowl.
Wait, you say there's four doors.
Yeah, I'm just adding the Vikings.
I'm just saying that's four doors.
That's even less believable than the other three.
Okay.
You had to choose one of those three doors.
That was four. Four doors.
Before Mandy really interrupted, what was the last door?
The Vikings will win a Super Bowl. Is there proof of that behind there? All right, right. So you've got ghosts behind one, cryptids behind another, aliens behind another. If you could open one, but you could never open the other to prove, to see for proof,
yes.
What would be the one door you would want to go through?
Absolutely door C, if proof that aliens exist.
Aliens?
Yeah.
Is it the probing?
Well, three.
You're turning the numbers into letters now? It's three, not C.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ, can you wrestlers never get along?
I had a margarita. Give me a break.
This is why I'm a vegetarian.
A margarita.
I'm like a little over 100 pounds. I get drunk. Yes. It hits me hard.
So you would want to see aliens.
Hence why he's my favorite drinking buddy, because he's a cheap date.
I love you, too. I don't know who said that. Oh, you're right there. There you go.
Right, yeah, intern Yoko.
Yeah.
It's going to get weird tonight, folks.
The one who wants to cradle you, love you, and smother you in your sleep.
Oh, is that so what you're talking about?
Yeah, so she can possess you. Yeah, yeah. I would run quickly.
I'll be avoiding that.
So, so you'd like to have an alien encounter. Why, out of everything, an alien encounter?
Aliens open up so much possibility for, like, just us as, like, a human race. Like, different technology, different interactions, like, going to other worlds. Like, if aliens existed and came down and were friendly, like, just that opens up so much possibility for us as a species. Now, on the other hand, if they're not so friendly, then that opens up another door, which, that could not end very well for us, because I don't know how that would turn out. But
don't you think by now they would have already done it?
I think it's very possible that if there is that super intelligent race of aliens, like, maybe they're kind of like they see us so primitive, maybe they're kind of like monitoring us, like almost like a zoo, where it's like, all right, let's go see what these humans are doing on, like, planet whatever, planet. I'm sure they don't call it Earth, planet whatever. Oh, look, they're destroying themselves with nuclear bombs.
I think they call us planet anal tissue.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just the margarita speaking. I don't know.
It could be possible that, like, you know, we always, like, are listening out in space for, like, different signals. And it could be that the alien life forms are so advanced, like, the signals that come to us are just, they just end up being white noise because we don't have the technology to, like, process what's going on.
Do you think we've already been contacted?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right, Mandy.
Oh, sorry. Microphones. Okay, yes.
Nice. It's real. Bruiser, Cheeseburger, Mandy.
Hey.
Your turn. All right. What? Tell me about, like, just what's the freakiest thing you've ever seen, paranormal-wise?
Ever seen?
Yeah, or experienced.
Paranormal, I've seen a lot of scary
only
things
wrestling,
as far as people go.
She shares a locker room with me, and... I'm not shy of changing, so.
I saw something very triggering earlier.
No.
Oh, God.
Paranormal speaking, what is the weirdest thing? Man, words are getting harder the more drinks I have, Tim.
That happens.
Paranormal speaking, Mandy.
Okay, so a personal experience, I think my first, I'll say this, like, being touched by a spirit. How about that? That's a cool story,
Could
right?
Could you describe it slowly?
Yes. All right. You're getting ahead of yourself now. So when I was little, I had a friend in high school, or actually it was like middle school, but whatever, that's not the point. And we would go over to her house, and one day we were having a cookout, and her father's daughter died at a very young age, his other daughter. She was around, I want to say, maybe 5 or 6 years old when she passed away. Mm. And one day we were just there, we were having a cookout. It was me, the girl, my mom, her father, and two other people. And I remember we were in the kitchen, or they were in the kitchen, we were in the dining room. It was just me and my friend and I that were sitting at the table eating steak, nom noms. And literally, I swear to you, I am not making this up. There's a moment where we're just not talking, and I literally just feel two hands touch me aggressively on the back of my shoulders from behind me, like just go like that to me.
Wait, Tim would like you to show that again so everybody can see it.
Like that. But it felt like that. Like it was hard and like, I didn't react like that. But it was more like a holy crap. Like, what was that? I dropped my fork and everything. I was so freaked out. I literally started just shaking and just bawling my eyes out. Like I was just crying. And like my friend in front of me just looked at me like, what just happened to you? Like, what is going on? I don't cry in front of people. I don't know. I just don't show emotion. So I was just bawling my eyes out and shaking. And my mom comes in and she's screaming. She's like, what happened? And I'm telling her, I'm like, something just touched me. Like something just slammed me on the back of my shoulders really aggressive. Like something just touched me. Like it was a ghost. Nothing was there. Like something touched me. And she's looking at me like I'm crazy, of course. Because, you know, every parent ever looks at their child when they say something weird like that and say, no, honey, it's all in your head. There's nothing there. I'm like, no. Something touched me and nobody believed me. And that was my first experience. And to this day, I think that was his daughter that passed away. I don't know if she didn't want me in the house. She had personal feelings against me, but I felt it. And that was my first experience actually feeling something touch me. As far as living in a house, I lived in a very haunted house growing up. That to this day, it's so weird. Please let me know if you have this experience because I can't find anybody else that does. But I literally have dreams to this day that take me back to that house as if it's calling me there. And it's so vivid. And I see the same things. Stop. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm your boyfriend now, bitch.
But here's some homework for you guys. If you guys ever want to look up 1626 Sunset Avenue in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and find some deep, dark
history. I'm sure they're going to appreciate that.
It's homework. Yeah. When's the last time y'all had homework? But if you find any dark history on that, let me know. Because that place was...
Check out diedinhouse.com, our new advertiser, diedinhouse.com.
No, but there's a question for you. Have you guys ever had dreams that take you back to places that are legitimately haunted and almost like it's calling you there?
You know,
like,
here's talking about a wraparound. When we were talking to, help me out yesterday. Too many drinks already.
Kenny
wrestler,
Omega?
Good-looking
Kenny
guy.
Kenny Omega.
What?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Goes... So I go, Kenny, have you ever had a paranormal experience? And he goes, I think one, I can't be sure. And I go, all right, well, would you tell me about it? He goes, sure. He goes, we were doing this, we call it Hell Tour. So we're traveling all around. We do really crappy small places. And he goes, and we're at like this school. And we have to stay in the school. And the janitor puts us up in the gym. But we have to stay in like the, you know, like the equipment room. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I wouldn't wander too far because this place is crazy haunted. I'm going to turn the lights on only to the bathroom. So you go to the bathroom and get back here as quick as possible.
Oh, no.
And Kenny's like, all right. And it freaks out all the rest of the wrestlers, he said, on the card, right? Nobody wants to go down there. And at one point, he can't wait anymore. He's got to go to the bathroom. So he goes down. He gets in the bathroom. He's in the stall. And the light starts flickering on and off and then goes off. And he's like, all right, one of the other guys is screwing with him. And he goes, turn on the light. Boom, light goes on. He's like, all right. And then it goes off again. He goes, knock it off. Boom, light comes back on. Then he hears something walking around, right? So he has this experience, kind of freaks him out. Then the next day when he goes to wrestle, he runs back to his room. He goes to wrestle, opens up his bag. His costume is shredded.
What?
Like Freddy Krueger tore it apart.
Like claws.
Right?
Wow.
And he's such a nice guy, right? Kenny Omega's like, yeah, my costume's shredded. And I'm like, hey, now I have nothing to wear tomorrow. Right? That's his main concern. He's just like, geez. And he goes, so it shreds up the costume. And then he goes, then my life just goes to hell. Every bad thing that could possibly happen. I'm getting injuries. Things are going bad in my life. And then he had a dream that took him back to that school like months later.
Yeah.
And he faced this childlike demon ghost. And he ends up squaring off. And his words to me is, he's like,
off?
He goes, dude, I cried like a bitch. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, and I just like, I don't know what I did to offend you. I'm sorry. I'm not here to cause any problems. You know, please just let me go. And he kind of smiled at him and vanished. And then his life turned completely around. But there was a moment where he dreamt himself back to that school, faced what was bothering him. And at that point forward, there was no more trouble.
Yeah.
And so in that case, but we've seen haunted locations all over, but I'm very cautious when we go in because I have kids. I have a lot of kids. So I got to make sure. Shut up, Jim.
He has half an orphanage full of kids.
So I've, we got 11 kids. I got to make sure I don't bring stuff
back.
You
have 11 kids?
11 kids. I know it's hard to tell with this figure. I've had 11 children, but it's true, Cheeseburger.
And he's delivered every single one himself.
Oh, my.
I've got 11.
Which child is your favorite?
All of them. You, Jen. You. The only one that came to see my show. I got to say that. Unless, Cliff, are you here? All right, it's you, Jen. Definitely you.
If you're one of his kids, raise your hand.
Right there. So look at all of the back row. Which is creepy because only two of them are here. But so I'm very cautious with what I do to make sure we don't bring them home. But from time to time, things have slipped through, right? Like I'd come back from a Queen Mary event. And I've got my daughter, and she's standing up on the kitchen, on the bathroom sink, and she's brushing her teeth. And she goes, look, Daddy. And I go, what? And she goes, the ghost in my room. And she's pointing into the mirror's reflection. And I look, and I don't see anything. I'm like, okay. And then my son Linus, who looks like Opie from Andy Griffith's show, little red hair, freckles, cute kid, right? I'm sleeping downstairs. When I fell asleep on the couch, my now ex-wife brings him downstairs, and she goes, wake up. She goes, tell Dad what's going on. He goes, Dad, Pacey is running around in my room. And I said, honey, your sister's 1 year old. She can't even walk. She's not running. He goes, no, Dad, her shadow's running around in my room. I go, you're just dreaming. Because, again, let's ignore exactly what the children say. Because we know from every horror movie, they never know what they're talking about, right? And then she goes, that's not the worst. She goes, tell him the other part. And he goes, oh, yeah, Daddy, there's the little boy on my top bunk. And I go, that's your brother Nathan. He goes, no, Daddy, Nathan's sleeping. This little boy is sitting on the edge of the stairs, and he looks like this, Dad.
Oh, no.
And he dips his head and gives me, like, the Damien Omen look, right? And I'm like, oh. So I pucker a little bit. And my ex-wife goes, you deal with this. I'm going back to bed. She goes back up. And now I've got to realize, right, my kid is upstairs in a room sleeping on a bed next to a ghost on the stairs staring at my other kid. So I did what every parent would do. I just told my son Linus, shh, just lay down here with Daddy. We'll be okay. And then I go, I can't do this. I got to go check. So I start stomping. I'm in my boxer shorts and T-shirt. I'm stomping up the stairs. There better not be a goddamn ghost in this house. I will throw it out by the scruff of its goddamn neck.
And I'm sorry, the whole line, I'm turning on lights in every room as we get up there. And the whole time inside, I'm Barney Fifing it, right? I'm like, oh, please don't let there be a ghost in this house. Oh, God, don't let there be. Because if I flip on the light and there's like staring at me from the top bunk, I'm shooting my pants and my life as a dad is over. And I walk up, there's nothing there. I bring my son down, everything's fine. But, yeah, so I've been very protective with the way I try to treat dealing with the paranormal so that I don't bring things home.
Do you notice that kids, like, because you have young kids, are connected more to the paranormal world?
I think because, again, they've just got that purity. There's nobody, you know, there's nobody telling them you don't see this. There's nobody telling them it doesn't exist.
Because my cousin-in-law, I guess, she has young kids.
Right.
And my wife's grandmother passed away even before I met, like, 20 years ago or 10 mm-hmm. years ago, whatever it was. And the little girl, who's only like 5, was playing in her room. And her mom walks in and goes, who are you talking to? She goes, oh, it's my new friend, Isabel. She goes, what was the name? And that was their grandmother's name. She goes, oh, it's Isabel. Like, we're playing. And she's like, okay, well, maybe it's just an imaginary friend. Kids have that. And this goes on for about a week. And then one day they're going through pictures because the grandfather passed away and they're trying to put pictures up for the funeral. She goes, oh, Mommy, where'd you get a picture of Isabel? And there's a picture of their grandmother sitting right there. And she immediately calls me because she says, do I need to be worried? I'm like, no, that's just your grandmother reaching out to let her know, hey, everything's okay. Like, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Very cool. With that, we have to take a quick break. Stay tuned. More live from the Jericho Cruise, Terror on the High Seas. All right, we're back. This is Beyond the Darkness Live. See, Tim, see how I help you out? We're getting this editing thing down right up here.
I know, right?
Beyond the Darkness Live. This is the Jericho Cruise. We're having such a great time. And we've got Mandy, Cheeseburger, Bruiser all up on stage with Tim and I as we're talking about strange paranormal phenomena, strange experiences. We were talking about kids right before the break. Yeah. And the fact that they seem to be more open to this and you know, I guess I've always kind of kept, I don't play it down for my kids. You know, I don't dumb it down. If they want to talk to me about it, that's great, but I don't play it up either. Mandy, you were talking, interestingly enough, about the fact that it was just kind of open in your family about Santeria right. and about yeah. the paranormal. Did they ever try to don't worry about it? Or were they just, you knew this was going on and it was just a part of your world?
I mean, we just knew it was going on. And like you said, yeah, it was a part of our world. And for me, just to base something off of what you were just discussing, kind of tying the things together with the aliens and the spirits and all that, I almost kind of feel like, when you're a child and you're so young, you're talking about the purity of it and just, you know, your imagination's running wild, so to say. I almost feel like as we get older, I mean, this is just a known fact, whatever you believe is what you believe, but as we get older, there's so many things that block out that third eye, so to say, to that open world. And I almost feel we do have that connection to aliens because I think they kind of help us to see those things. And as we get older, like you said, we're told, no, this isn't real. Like, that stuff's so silly. And, you know, you hear about all these areas, you know, all the government stuff that's going on that's hiding these secrets from us with aliens and ghosts and these things that we're just not supposed to know about. But I kind of relate it to The Sims. I see us as The Sims in a way. And I almost feel like the aliens are kind of helping us with those powers. If we tune into those powers, we can see these things. We can see the ghosts, so to say. We can see the future. And why do we have these dreams that are so vivid? And why do we feel our relatives that passed away with us? And there's a reason for that. And I think...
So were the aliens Sims? Bastards, chip in and buy some air for Tim and I. Get new skins.
It's kind of what Berger was saying earlier, though. Like, it's a little playground for them. It's right. Like we're the zoo, and I almost feel like, you know what, they're helping us with that. It's almost kind of like the aliens built us in a way. And I don't know if you've played The Sims, but I almost feel like they're kind of just controlling our lives, and that's kind of why we just haven't seen them in person yet. But
that's cool that you bring that up. So you have Santeria in your life. You have this kind of spirituality. Did they talk about alien culture
or the possibility of aliens in your life?
It was never a discussion of aliens, like, oh, the grays and the greens and this and that and the third. It was more so just of a higher being that's out there, that's just beyond who we are. Not a god, so to say, but just a higher being that's there. Whether you think it's an alien or however you envision it, they wouldn't see it as something like, I literally have an alien tattoo on my ankle. It's not what they would describe to us. But again, just a higher being that is saying, hey, like, you have these powers. You're having these dreams for a reason. You're seeing these things for a reason. It's there. So whoever tells you it's not there, no, it's there. You know, you follow your instincts and your intuition. So,
Cheeseburger, you reach for that microphone fast.
I wanted to ask you guys and Mandy more so about, like, instead of, like, aliens, more so about, like, spells and, like, witchcraft and stuff like that. Do you have any family members that would try to, like, cast spells on people? Because I have a story about an aunt of mine who was really big into witchcraft, and she wanted to cast a love spell on her ex-boyfriend.
Ooh, love spells. Hey.
Yeah,
you got to get in that story. Well, I'll answer your question quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
I do. My family has put spells and hexes on people, as if that's what you would say, and they work. I mean, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. That stuff's real.
So if you're thinking of taking her on in the square ring, make sure you realize there are spells coming your way.
From me, personally.
Very cool. All right. Cheeseburger.
When I was growing up in New Jersey, I lived in a house with my grandma had a house, and it was me, my grandma, my mom's sister, my aunt, and my mom, and we all, like, lived in that house as I was growing up for a couple of years. And my aunt, she had this kid by her ex-boyfriend. They weren't planning on having a kid. You know, she was 17, 18 at the time. People about kids, so people just have kids sometimes.
I like how you tried to hold that back as long as you could. You're like, people, you know, when man and a woman fall in love, Dave.
You know.
All right,
you know.
I know. All right.
Sometimes
right.
things happen.
All right.
Yeah. From, like, the back of his condo.
So they had my aunt's first kid, and then they ended up breaking up. I believe, like, her ex-boyfriend, whose name was Chaz, and I'm not making this up. They called him, he, like, was a guy, like, that kind of grew up in the neighborhood, and everyone called him Cheese, even though his name is Chaz. I'm not making this up. His nickname on the streets was Cheese. Like, his name is Chaz. Yeah, essentially, I guess. So, like, after the kid happened, they broke up, and, you know, she was, like, really heartbroken about it. So I remember one day she's asked me. My grandma had this, like, big tree in her backyard, and she's like, "Hey, my real name. Can you go get me a branch off this tree?"
His real name, which of course is Gluten Free Cheeseburger.
Yes,
but is not good on a wrestling marquee.
She's like, "Hey, I want you climb this tree and grab me a branch from this tree." I'm like, "I'm not climbing this tree." She's like, "No, it's really important. Please, like, climb up this tree and just grab me, like, a branch." I'm like, "All right, God damn it. Okay, fine." So I grabbed this branch. I'm like, "What do you need this branch for?" She wouldn't tell me. So I was like, "All right." So then a week later, she's like, they hadn't been together for, like, a few months at this point. And then, like, a week later, she's like, "Hey, me and Cheese are going on this date," or Chaz, whatever. Like, "Hey, we're going on this date." Everyone's like, "I'm like, I thought you guys been broken up for a while, like, after the kid happened." She's like, no, we're back together." I'm like, "Well, what happened?" She's like, "Hey, let me tell you something." She's like, "Pull me to the side." She's like, "Hey, like, I cast a spell." And I'm like, "What?" That was my second. I'm like, "Wait, what?" She's like, "Yeah, like, I cast this love spell on him." I'm like, "And it worked?" She's like, "Yeah, it worked. Like, we're back together. We're going on a date again. You know, we're getting back together." I'm like, "All right." And it didn't, the spell didn't seem to last very long, because they were broken up, like, about 2 weeks later. So I guess that one wasn't, powerful enough. So she looked for another one that was more powerful. And they did end up back together eventually. So I don't know how many spells it took.
So Yoko, tomorrow I'll climb a tree and break a switch off for you so you can hit Cheeseburger with the love spell and get him on your side before the end of the trip. That's pretty. So now she lays on you that she did some kind of magic spell.
Yeah.
How does, I mean, that's like a paradigm shifter, right? I mean, all of a sudden, magic works.
Apparently. Like,
not
that,
well, apparently, but it worked.
It worked for about, like, a week, 2 weeks, I guess, until, I don't know if he, like, cheated on her again or if they just broke it off. But, I mean, it worked for some time before they broke up again. And I guess she found a more powerful one or just kept trying them until they eventually worked. They're not together as of right now, though, so I guess it didn't work very well.
Well, get up the damn tree and grab her another branch, Cheese.
Can we get a magic critique from Mandy as to whether
Yeah.
The first one needed a tree branch. She didn't ask me after that, so I don't know if the other ones are cool.
All right.
I don't know what else was involved with that. I've never heard of someone having to climb a tree to get a tree branch for a love spell.
The branch was like it wasn't like a high. Don't think I'm a daredevil. It was a very high climb. I just had to. I just had to go up a little bit just to grab a twig off.
Burger's
of it.
Just like.
Well, no
like
wonder it only lasted a week.
Next time you
bastard,
tell
her failed relationship is all on your shoulders, Cheese.
You should have went to the redwoods and climbed all the way up. So the next time you tell this story, say you went there, you climbed all the way up 16 stories to grab the largest branch you can find and carry it down. It'll make you look better, all right?
Thank you, Bruiser.
Fantastic. Black magic love spells. I like that. Very cool. Was your family open, Cheese, to the concept, obviously, of magic, but, I mean, to the supernatural and paranormal?
My aunt was really into, obviously spells after that story, but I think she very heavily believed in ghosts. As far as, my grandma and my mother, I don't think very much. I think my grandma believed in ghosts, though.
So. All right. Now, was this, obviously... Mm-hmm. Your family believed in the supernatural.
Yes.
They did that. Cheese's family believed in it. Did your family openly deal with the supernatural, Bruiser?
No, like I said, my mom just accepted there was a ghost in her basement.
And that's it?
That's it. Like, yeah. Nowadays, because my daughter's really into cryptozoology, so my parents actually live in Arizona, and when we went and visited, my dad would talk about the UFOs because Arizona, where they live, is a hotbed for UFO activity. And my dad, we'd sit out there and we'd look up. My daughter had started talking about the different cryptos you can find in the area. And my dad's like, oh, you're looking at the wrong area. You're looking down, look up. And as we're sitting there, we saw all these lights and stuff like that. My dad's like, oh, that's all the UFOs. So my dad, you know, just kind of plays it off. My mom's like, your dad's an idiot. Those are weather balloons. I'm like, Mom, what about the ghost in the basement? She goes, it was just a girl singing to us. Who cares? Like, she just...
That was just matter of fact.
Yeah, she just plays it off. Like, I think she was afraid we'd be scared. I don't know. Like, my daughter is the one that's talking about all this stuff, so that's why my dad, you know, pointed it out. My mom's just kind of blowing it off like it's an everyday thing. Like, everybody experiences this, you know, so...
Well, you've seen ghosts or had experiences. Have you ever physically seen a ghost?
Physically, no. I've taken pictures. An apartment I used to live in, you know, it was a party, take pictures and stuff. This is back with the disposable cameras. I'm dating myself, I know. So you don't find out what you have on film until a couple days later. And in a couple of the pictures, there was shadows, like shadow people in it.
All right.
I've had that. I've also had, going back to my parents living in Arizona, we were doing like a family Christmas photo. And my brother at the time was having a really hard time with drugs and alcohol. And he was trying to get sober and all this stuff. And every time they took the picture, there'd be a spot, glowing spot over his head. And my dad thought it was a camera, so he'd switch cameras. And we went through 3 digital cameras and 4 cell phones. And the same spot was in every single picture on my brother.
Wow.
And a couple weeks later, he, you know, finally... been clean and sober, and now it's a few years now. He's clean, sober, owns his own job and all that. So, like, we kind of relate back that was somebody. Thank you. He'll appreciate that. But he always says that was somebody probably looking out for him just to, you know, he was in a dark time and he needed light, and that's what it was.
Now, we started with being on the road. Have you ever had an experience on the road besides the swimming pool of destiny? did you ever go anywhere where you had an experience that kind of really unnerved you?
Yeah, actually, when we were in Baltimore, these last TV tapings. So we're in Baltimore, and we always get put in decent hotels and stuff, and I room with Silas. And
sorry.
Yeah. We were sleeping, and all of a sudden, we both wake up, and we hear, like, stomping. It sounded like somebody was running up above us, and it went on all night long. And it varied from up above us to people out in front of us and stuff like that. And so we went up to the front desk the next day to catch a shuttle to go to the airport and stuff. And we complained to the lady because Silas likes to complain. The lady goes, "Were you in this room?" We're like, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, don't worry about it." And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean don't worry about it? Like, if there's people, like, you know, we're going to tell our boss about this and stuff. She goes, no, we get that complaint all the time. The room above you was actually vacant last night.
All right. Very, so that was unnerving.
Right? So that kind of bugged me. And Silas, who had never had an experience at that point, kind of goes, well, does that mean, is this going to follow us home? Like, he was really worried about it. And I had to kind of talk him down. Like, it's not demonic. It's not, you know, you're going to be okay, Silas. You're a real man.
You're not a little wooden puppet. Nope. It's okay.
Ghosts won't hurt you.
Mandy, how about you on the road? Have you ever really encountered something unnerving, spooky, scary?
I got to be honest. Like I said,
did you say you're not going
to
be honest?
No, I said I have to be honest. Okay, like I said earlier, it's when you go to work and stuff like that. It's just, again, if you hear something weird, it's probably one of the wrestlers being weird. But it's literally, but as far as being in creepy hotels and stuff, I've heard things, but I've never taken it so serious. Because again, you're just, for me, when I'm on the road, I'm just so focused on getting things done and just getting to the next show, getting to the next place, getting my sleep if I can.
But even in those hotels and places
really,
you put up,
no,
nothing
I can't
weird.
Really name a place that I've felt something weird. No.
I got two places I want to ask you guys about. One is actually Milwaukee. It being that I have this this here margarita in my hand, one of the news stories we were reading on that fateful day was the Pfister Hotel, if you remember. Yeah. So let me pass this back down and tell me if you have any memories of the Pfister.
Which sounds like the worst wrestler name ever.
I know, it sounded
Ladies
terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ring Pfister. Of Honor, the Pfister.
Great gimmick, by the way.
I've never been, like, actually, I've seen the Pfister. I've never been there, but there's a manager that I know, and I kind of trained in wrestling and stuff, and he actually stayed there. And he's kind of a dick, because one of his ex-girlfriends, he heard, and this is true, if you want to have sex with a lady, take her to a horror movie, because they get scared and...
Yes.
Cuddle up next to you. So he took it one step further. He took her to a haunted hotel. thinking this would work. Because the Pfister's known as being haunted.
Yep.
And I guess while they're there. So he's telling me this plan. He's like, oh, I'm gonna take her to the Pfister, we're gonna go to this room, I'm gonna run the EVP all night. Like, this is gonna be perfect. And I'm like, this is gonna blow up in your face, man. Like, it's not like you're going to watch Friday the 13th in like Marcus Theater, you know what I mean? Like, this is like ghosts. And I guess they ended up leaving halfway through the night because she was terrified. So the next day he told me about it, and they caught some EVPs and the bed was shaking and all that. And I says, well, he's like telling me all his experiences. Like, well, that's great, but did you get laid? And he goes, nope. Told
surprise,
you backfired.
Surprise.
But the Pfister is very, very popular in Milwaukee, and I do want to go there.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So have you guys stayed there as part of Ring of Honor? Have they put you up there?
I don't stay in a hotel. In
I know you probably
because
stay
I live
at home
there.
He
stays in a van down by the river.
Do they put you up there as part of our wage or no?
It depends how much my wife's pissed at me if I stay at the hotel. But like,
well, I would think she'd like the break. But
when Ring of Honor comes to Milwaukee, I like to stay home. So you have to ask these two.
Right on. I think they both said no. That no, you haven't stayed there. Okay.
Well, I can't thank you enough for joining us on stage. Before we leave, I did say we're on a ship. I want to share one last creepy story. Right. So I'm talking to a former naval guy. And he goes, be careful by the edges. He goes, you never know. You know, I'm just paranoid about the edge. People fall in. And I said, okay. And he goes, you know, I was in the service. He goes, one of my buddies fell over. And I said, oh, geez, how long did it take to find him? And he said, 45 minutes. And they had specialty divers and people that went in. So they flew over, and he went down to get him. And he said when they brought him up, his boots were missing. And then the safety diver who went down to get him brought him up and said, you know, I've heard a lot of things. I don't ever want to go in the ocean again. And he's like, why not? He goes, I got him in. I looped the rope around us. We started to come up, and something grabbed both of our legs and pulled us down. And they went under the water. And then it let go and slingshotted them back up. And when they came up, the guy who we went in to save, both boots. And when you're in the service, your boots are tied. You're ready. Both boots are missing. And they went ricocheting back up into the sky. So I was like, oh, that's a delightful story as I sit here looking over into the briny blue.
But that's, you know, I love this kind of stuff. I love meeting all of you guys. I want to thank you all for sharing your stories. And I think we're going to try to record another episode while we're on the ship. And I know we didn't get a chance to get to your stories in the audience. We'd love to meet up with you guys again. But very special thanks again to our amazing group of friends up on stage. Thank you to all of you for showing up. The staff here aboard the ship that's helping us on the Jericho Cruise record this episode, thank you all for being a part of our world. We'll see you again next week right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. For that guy, I'm this guy. You've been listening to that show. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.